Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Divine Redeemer, bearer of life, open us to the wisdom of your Word today. And enlighten us with your truth. Liberate us from all that distracts us and turns us from your path. Guide us and ground us in Christ's everlasting hope. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Let's listen to God's word. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go to wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten the belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, let us pray. O holy God and resurrected Christ, may my words this morning be your words. May your presence be made known to each of us, not only now, but also as we journey forth from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Lenten series, Wandering Heart, now concluding on the second Sunday of Easter, has been a pilgrimage of sorts, following in the footsteps of Peter. We've followed along with Peter from the abundant catch that led him to drop everything and follow him as to moments such as him walking on water, professing his faith, being rebuked, receiving foot washing, denying Jesus three times, and running to the tomb. We've walked with him every step of his journey. And now, today, we witness Peter's encounter with the risen Christ, an encounter filled with forgiveness, redemption, and a love so relentless that it washes over Peter like a healing balm. But before we begin any further, and before we conclude our Wandering Heart series, let us revisit where it all began for Peter. As we embarked on our Lenten journey, we turned to the Gospel of Luke in the 5th chapter, where we first met Peter. He was Simon then, a fisherman casting his nets into the deep waters of the Lake Genesaret. Jesus, with his divine authority, commanded Simon to let down his nets for a catch. Simon, although reluctantly, obeyed, and to his awe, witnessed a miraculous catch, an abundant catch so great that their nets were about to break. Struck by this miracle, Simon fell at Jesus' feet, confessing his unworthiness. But Jesus, in his infinite grace, gave Simon a new purpose and a new identity. From now on, you will be catching people, Jesus said, transforming Simon the fisherman into Peter, the fisher of men. From that moment on, Peter embarked on a transformative journey, walking alongside Jesus, witnessing his miracles and absorbing his teachings. We journeyed with Peter as he walked on water, as he confessed Jesus to be the Messiah, and as he faltered and denied Jesus three times the night of his trial. Each of these moments, these snapshots of Peter's journey, reveal to us our own humanity and the divine grace that is intricately woven into our journeys of faith. And then for today, in today's text, we find Peter once again by the shoreline, casting his nets into the sea. The scene is eerily similar to that day on the Lake of Genesaret. Peter, along with a few other disciples, has spent the night fishing, but they have caught nothing. And then, as dawn breaks, a figure appears on the shore. This figure is Jesus, although the disciples do not recognize him at first. The figure instructs the disciples to cast their nets on the right side of the boat, and when they do, they haul in a catch so abundant that they honestly cannot haul it in. In this miraculous moment, echoes of the past reverberate, and one of the disciples recognizes Jesus. And upon hearing this, Peter, in his characteristic impulsiveness, jumps out into the sea to meet Jesus, just like he did when he walked on water to meet Jesus during the storm. The parallels between this encounter and Peter's call story are striking and powerful. Once again, Jesus provides an abundant catch. Once again, Peter the fisherman encounters the divine on the shores of his everyday life, and once again, Peter's life is about to be transformed. But this story is not just about an abundant catch, because this is also a story of relentless love and redemption. Because Jesus didn't just provide Peter and the disciples an abundant catch that day, he also provided a healing moment significant for Peter. In the heart of this story lies a dialogue between Peter and the risen Christ, a dialogue that offers Peter a chance for redemption. Jesus offers Peter a chance to redeem his three denials with three affirmations of love. Jesus asks Peter, not once, not twice, but three times, "Do you love me?" But Jesus is not seeking to remind Peter of the three times he denied him, or to rub salt in Peter's wounds. We don't worship a God who kicks any of us while we are down. Instead, his intent is to offer Peter a chance to affirm his love for Christ, a chance to heal, and a chance to redeem himself. Can you imagine the weight of this moment? The weight of Jesus' question asked three times. Can you imagine Peter's heart, heavy with guilt, lightening with each declaration of love? Each time Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," he is being redeemed. His guilt, his shame, his denials are washed away by the relentless love of Jesus. Jesus' questions to Peter were not a test of Peter's loyalty, but it is an affirmation of his redemption. With each declaration of love, Jesus entrusts Peter with a new mission. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." It's as if Jesus is saying to Peter, "Here's my heart," washing over Peter's denial with a healing balm and a call to shepherd the flock that he was first entrusted with before he ever denied Christ. This is the essence of Christ's love for us: relentless, unyielding, and always seeking our redemption. It's a love that does not focus on our failures, but sees our potential. A love that does not hold our past against us, but offers us a future filled with hope. We worship a God who constantly seeks those who are down to lift them up once again. We have a Savior who does this even if the reason we are down is our own doing. This story, the conclusion of the Gospel of John, teaches us that no matter how many times we fail or deny Jesus, his love for us always remains the same. Jesus' grace is sufficient. Jesus' mercy is abundant. He asks us the same question that he asked Peter: "Do you love me?" And like Peter, we are given the opportunity to affirm our love for Christ and receive his redemption every time we seek it. Christ's love is a love that does not waver, even when we falter. Christ's love is a love that pursues us, even when we stray. And Christ's love is a love that forgives, even when we have fallen short, and even though we will fall short again. Consider a child who disobeys their parents, perhaps causing disappointment or frustration. A parent's love doesn't ever diminish for their child, but instead they lovingly guide their child back to the paths of righteousness, forgiving their mistakes and reaffirming and reminding that child of their love. Think of a friend who in a moment of weakness betrays a trust. A relationship may be strained, a trust has been broken. But true friendship is a manifestation of relentless love. And so the wronged friend forgives, offering another chance and a fresh start. Or think of a person battling addiction who after months of sobriety relapses. It's a heartbreaking setback, but doesn't change the fact that they are still worthy of love and support. Their loved ones, and indeed Christ himself, does not abandon them in their time of need. Instead, that person is offered grace, forgiveness, and the promise of a new day. These examples remind us that we are all human, that we all will make mistakes. We all have moments where we choose selfishness over service, where we choose comfort over compassion. But it is in those moments that Christ calls us back, reminding us that we are loved, claimed, and called. Because Jesus is never asking for our perfection. Jesus is only asking of us of our hearts. And so we find ourselves here today on this first Sunday of the month celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion. Just as God's relentless redemptive love is always offered to us, so too is God's invitation to return to the table. Here, we are reminded of the grace offered to us through Christ. Nothing we can do will ever remove our seat from this table, because nothing we did earned our place at this table. It was a gift that was always freely given to us, and it is a gift that is still present here now and in the future. Even the table, communion, the bread and the wine serve as the relentless love of Christ that is offered to each of us. A love that says, "Here is my heart." A love that forgives our denials, our betrayals, our shortcomings, and invites us to start anew once again. A love that meets us wherever we are and invites us into a deeper, more meaningful relationship with our Savior. And so as we move forward from this Lenten series, as well as in our own journeys of faith, we must remember this love. No matter how far we wander, Jesus' grace finds us. No matter how many times we falter, Jesus' love redeems us. And no matter how unworthy we might feel, Jesus entrusts us to do his work. And so we let Christ's love guide us. Christ's love guides us in our actions, in our relationships, and in our service onto others. For just as we are recipients of God's love, so too are we called to extend that love to others. We are called to love the unlovable, to forgive the unforgivable, and to extend grace where it is least expected. For in doing so, we are mirroring Christ's love for us, that redemptive love for us. We are the ones now saying to the world, "Here's our hearts." Now we know that Peter's story did not conclude with the conclusion of the Gospels. Peter's journey would continue, fueled by the relentless love of Christ, his Savior. Peter would go on to become a pillar of the early church, spreading the gospel, the good news, far and wide. His story serves as a powerful reminder of redemption, of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, tenth chances. And ultimately, Peter's story reminds us of our stories, of the transformative love of Christ found in each of our lives. Because our stories also don't end here. Each day offers us a new beginning, a chance to experience and extend the relentless love of Christ to others. So my friends, as we depart from this sacred place and this sacred gathering, we carry with us our wandering hearts, the lessons that we've learned through Peter, the redemption offered to us through Christ, and the promise of relentless love that is ours to claim and ours to share. We remember this day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.